Please turn with me now in your Bibles to John chapter 21. John 21, we're going to read verses 15 to 24, and you'll find that on page 907 of the Bibles provided for you. John 21, verses 15 to 24. We're going to be focusing on verses 18 to 23, but I wanted to read a little more for the context here. For those of you visiting with us this week, we're working our way through the life of the Apostle John right now. And so we've come to the resurrection and John's times when he saw the resurrected Christ. And last time we looked at the first half of this morning that Jesus spent with his disciples when they hadn't caught anything and he served them breakfast. And then here we have a conversation between Jesus and Peter. And John factors into this conversation between Jesus and Peter. And so as I read here, note what Jesus teaches Peter here about how we are to relate to each other as we follow Christ. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 24. This is the word of God. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Envy is a surefire way to ruin a friendship. How often have you seen this in your own life, in the relationships that you have had? How often have you seen a relationship strained with someone? Either because you were jealous of what they had or because they were jealous of what you had. And that temptation to envy can be even harder to resist when it's not just something positive in the other person's life that you wish you had, that you wish that you had something they had, but instead you're suffering in a great way and you're suffering great pain and you see someone else not suffering the way you are, not struggling the way that you have been struggling. We know that the apostles struggled with one-upmanship. They always wanted to gain an advantage over each other. We saw this earlier when we saw James and John coming to Jesus and trying to get a better spot in the kingdom than the rest of the 12. They wanted to sit at his right and left hands in the kingdom. They wanted to do better than the other apostles. And then several times Jesus had to get on the disciples for arguing about who was the greatest. They wanted to be better than their fellow apostles. They were always comparing themselves to each other. But then in this passage here, Peter here has finally learned or is learning that following Jesus is going to involve suffering. It's going to involve deep suffering. Suffering like Jesus suffered. And in that moment, we see Peter's heart of comparing, his heart of one-upmanship showing itself again here. Because he immediately starts down that path of comparing again. He's not just wanting something better than John, as we've seen the disciples doing up to this point. He starts wondering immediately, is John going to have to suffer as much as he will? Is he the only one that's going to have to be crucified and suffer in the way that Jesus predicts here? Friends, how often have you been pulled down that path yourself? When you're suffering or you're anticipating suffering in your life, and you compare your life and your hardships to the lives of the people around you. Jesus reminds Peter here, and he reminds you and me where our focus should be instead when we face suffering and we look ahead at suffering in our lives. He immediately challenges Peter's outlook here and this attitude of comparing. And brothers and sisters, Jesus' call to Peter on that morning 2,000 years ago is the same call to you and me as we face suffering in our lives. Brothers and sisters, follow Jesus and take up your God-given cross without comparing. Follow Jesus and take up your God-given cross without comparing. We're going to build this idea in three parts this morning. So first of all, simply follow Jesus and take up your cross. First of all, follow Jesus and take up your cross. Jesus gave Peter several commands here in this conversation. If you look through what Jesus said to him, he told him over and over again, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. But the final word of command is in verse 19 and reiterated in verse 22. And that command is, follow me. Follow me. Now, as we talked about a little bit last time, Peter had literally been following Jesus for 3 years up to this point. He literally walked around with him. He sometimes literally walked behind him. He followed him around for 3 years. And as we talked a little bit last time, Peter and John here are wrestling with what does it look like to follow Jesus now that he's not with them all the time. After the resurrection, Jesus didn't go back to being with them all day, every day. And that gave them an opportunity to start working through in their minds, what does it mean to follow Jesus when we aren't literally following him around? And the lesson that Peter learns here is that following Jesus means walking in his footsteps in the trajectory of suffering before glory. Following Jesus means following a life's path that will involve suffering before glory. We will follow, our lives will follow the same trajectory as our Savior's life if we are truly following him. Look at what Jesus tells Peter about what's ahead of him. In verse 18, here, Jesus tells Peter that you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And then in verse 19, John, writing this gospel, looking back, most likely after Peter had died already, after this had already happened to him, John gives us an editorial note and says, this was to tell Peter what kind of death he was going to die. Because that language of stretching out his hands was to tell him he would be crucified one day. His hands would be stretched out in the same way that his Lord's hands had been stretched out. Just like Jesus, following in his footsteps, Peter would one day carry his own literal cross to a spot where they would stretch out his hands, stretch out his arms, and nail him to that cross and hang him on it until he died. That's what Jesus was telling Peter was ahead of him here in this moment, in this morning they spent together. And this verse here is as close as the Bible gets to telling us explicitly that Peter was crucified, but we have all of our early church sources that refer to Peter's death that say anything about how he died refer to his crucifixion. As early as 195 AD, Tertullian wrote that Peter had a passion like that of our Lord, as opposed to Paul, who was crowned with the death of John, meaning John the Baptist. So Tertullian was saying, Peter was crucified, Paul was beheaded. And from the earliest days of the church, we have witnesses saying, or tradition in the church, that Peter certainly was crucified. And that seems to be what Jesus is predicting here. That's what Peter had to look forward to in his life, knowing for the rest of his days on this earth that he would end his days on a cross. Jesus wanted Peter to finally understand that to follow Jesus is to follow him into death before glory. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, is so often quoted when we talk about this idea because he puts it so well. He says, as we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. When Jesus calls you to follow him, he's calling you to follow him into self-sacrifice and death. And this is a lesson that Peter struggled to learn. We know earlier in Jesus' ministry that Peter was absolutely opposed to this idea, even opposed to the idea that Jesus would suffer. Remember in Matthew 16, when Jesus told them, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to suffer at the hands of the leaders there, Peter pulled him aside and rebuked him for that. And said, no way, Lord. And that's that incident where Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. And remember there, just before Jesus was crucified, Peter had told him, I would die with you. I will die with you. I will never abandon you. But as we saw a few weeks ago, when the moment came when Peter could have walked with him to the cross and could have stuck by his side and been crucified with Jesus Christ, he failed, and he refused to say he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He even actively denied that he was a follower of Jesus Christ because he didn't want to follow him to the cross. He was not willing to give up his life to follow Jesus all the way. But as Jesus so often does with us, Jesus was patient in teaching Peter and drawing him to understand this, and showed mercy to him as he restored him with this triple asking him if he loved him. We're not looking at that this morning, but he restored Peter and taught him, and Peter seems to have finally gotten it, that to follow Jesus is to follow him into suffering. And we know he got it, we know he understood it, because we have a letter written by Peter later where he says this. In 1 Peter 2, in verses 20 and 21, Peter tells the people he's writing to this. He says, but if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Peter finally got it, that to follow Jesus is to follow him into a lifetime of suffering for doing good. And later on in that same letter, in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, later on in that letter, he says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. Peter finally got it, that to follow Jesus means to follow him into suffering for doing what's right. When you follow in someone's footsteps, and you think about in this life, if there's someone that you've followed in their footsteps, you follow in those footsteps because you want to be like them. You've seen the value in what that person has done, and so you follow in their footsteps to be like them. And when we talk about following Jesus, there is an aspect of that. We say we want to be like him, we want to grow to be more and more like him, to love like he does, to serve like he did. And in this life, if you want to follow in someone's footsteps, there often comes a time when that person will warn you about the sacrifices you will have to make to do that. You can imagine a son whose father has been in the army, has served well in the army, and he wants to be like his father, and he's getting ready to go off to boot camp, and you can imagine the dad sitting him down and telling him what he's about to go through. Telling him the grueling days that were ahead of him and warning him, this is the cost, this is what it takes to do what I have done. This is what it takes to be a soldier. Or you can imagine maybe someone, you've seen someone engaging in the foster care world and caring for children in their home through years and years. And you look at that and you say, I want to be like that. And you can imagine that mom who's sacrificed and poured her life for these children sitting you down and saying, listen, before you get into this, you need to know what this is going to take. These children coming and going out of your home constantly, and the difficulties that they've experienced in bringing that into the home, and all of those difficult things, you're warned about the cost. You're told up front, this is what it's going to take. The reason that people go ahead and do those things anyway, after that warning, is because they believe it is worth it. Friends, that's what we see here in Jesus' conversation with Peter. He tells him up front, you're gonna suffer the worst death imaginable in the known world at that time. This is what's ahead of you if you want to follow me. Jesus is telling him, you want to be like me? Get ready to be crucified in one form or another. That's what it means to follow Jesus, is to give up your life for others. Is that how you think of the Christian life? Is that how the Christian life is portrayed in our American culture? today. Follow Jesus and you will suffer. But is that what Jesus is saying here? Jesus there's no bait and switch here in Jesus' message to us. He doesn't promise us a wonderful life and then suddenly you experience all the suffering. He has been up front with us and told us that to follow him includes taking on suffering. Now, all things being equal, if I can't imagine that it's likely that any of you will actually literally be crucified for Christ in this life. Some of you may end up giving your lives for Christ. That's not unheard of. But it's highly unlikely any of you will be crucified. But as we look at this idea that following Christ involves suffering, we're not just talking about what happens at the end of your life, and we're not just talking about being a martyr. You take up your cross in all the ways that you suffer in this life for doing what's right. All the ways you persevere through the suffering of this world and continue in loving and serving others. When you suffer by giving up your time and your resources, and you suffer not having enough time, not having enough resources, because you've given them to others, you are taking up your cross and following Christ. And when you suffer loneliness because you can't join your friends in sin, you are taking up your cross and following Christ. And when you persevere through sickness and the sufferings of this cursed world and living through this world and continuing, persevering in serving others and seeking others' interests, even as you are suffering, you are taking up your cross and following Christ. And when you are mocked for believing that the Bible is true and you suffer estrangement or you're ostracized for believing that the Bible is true, you are taking up your cross and following Christ. And when you persevere through relationships with sinful people, recognize you are a sinful person too, but when you persevere through relationships with people who do not return your love, who do not return your kindness, you are taking up your cross and following Christ. Our world offers you all kinds of ways to escape that difficulty, to put yourself first, to look out for number one. And when Jesus calls you to follow him, he calls you to give up yourself, to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And when you suffer in those ways, especially when you suffer in deep suffering, in great ways, you will always wrestle with the question of why these things are happening. Why are these things happening in your life? And there are many Christians today who will tell you that the reason that bad things happen is that God has taken a hands-off approach to our free will, and that God has chosen to just let things go and let things happen because he wants us to have our free will. And so that's why bad things are happening to you, because God really wishes it was different, and he's up there wanting it to be different, but he wanted to let things pan out according to free will. But let's look at God's word here this morning and note that that's not the way that Jesus talks about this cross that Peter will have to bear. And expanding our idea a little further here, secondly, follow Jesus and take up your God-given cross. Follow Jesus and take up your God-given cross. This passage teaches that you don't get to choose your cross. You don't get to choose what crosses you will bear in this life. The way that Jesus talks to Peter really emphasizes this lack of control that Peter will have. This lack of control that he will have over what's going to happen to him, that he was going to have to submit to things that weren't his will. Look at what he says there. He makes this contrast in verse 18. He says, you know, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. You used to make all the choices about what you wanted to do. But in the second half of that verse, a time is coming when another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. He's telling him that he used to do things according to what he wanted to do, but following Jesus would involve submitting to the will of others and not doing what he wanted. And think about what had just happened. We didn't read this morning, but we read it last week when Peter and John and the other disciples were out fishing. Remember that Peter, when he realized, do you remember what Peter did when he heard that it was Jesus on the shore? He dressed himself and went where he wanted. He jumped in the water to go talk to Jesus. And it's the same word, it's a related word, it's used to gird himself. He girded his cloak on himself and jumped in the water and went to see Jesus. And Jesus is bringing that language and imagery back here to Peter, saying, look, I just saw you gird yourself and jump in the water and do what you wanted to do, to take the course of action you wanted to take. And I'm warning you that if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to submit to things that you don't want to do. To follow Jesus is to give up what you want often, and to give in to the will of the Lord, and to suffer at the hands of others who are inflicting their will on you. But this idea that it wasn't Peter's choice, that he wasn't going to choose his cross, isn't just because these other people are going to make him suffer, not just that these other people were going to do things that he didn't like. As you go on in the conversation here, notice whose choice it is, ultimately, how Peter's life is going to pan out. Look at verse 22. Peter has seen John here, and he asks, well, what about John? And look at what Jesus says. He says, if it is my will that he remain, what is that to you? Jesus is telling Peter that his will is what's going to be carried out. And that word for will is the same word as want earlier. When he talks to John about what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do, Jesus is saying, if I want John to remain, what is that to you? And so Jesus is saying, you are going to have to submit to my will. You're going to have to submit to my will for your life. Yes, there's one sense in which John is clearing up rumors that he wasn't ever going to die. He makes this point of, there was this rumor spreading that he was never going to die because of what Jesus said, and he makes a point of what Jesus actually said. But more importantly, John was saying here, Jesus decides when to take his people home. Jesus decides what cross you will bear. Peter lived a shorter life. John lived a longer life, and that's because Jesus chose for it to be that way. It was Jesus' will that it would happen that way. Jesus picks the crosses. The cross or crosses that you are bearing right now in your life are God-given. They are Jesus' will for your life. He chooses what is best for you and best for his kingdom and glory. Think about how submitting to the Lord's will in this is following in Jesus' footsteps. Remember Jesus in the garden that we've referenced so often recently. Jesus in the garden crying out to the Father saying, I don't want to do this. If there's any other way, let's do that. If there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. As you face the burdens that Christ has given you to bear, you can cry out to him in the same way that Jesus did and say, Lord, I don't want to do this. If there's any other way, please, let's do this another way. Please, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Friends, that's what it means to follow Christ. And there's a comfort in this. There's a comfort in knowing that Jesus picked your crosses. He picked your cross. There's a comfort in knowing that the suffering that's happening in your life is not just something, it's not just God taking his hands off the wheel and letting free will take its course. It's not just sort of random events happening in your life. Jesus has chosen the ways that you are suffering right now. He has chosen them for a purpose. They are not meaningless. Even when it seems like the enemies of God are getting their way in your life, even when it seems like you're losing as a follower of Christ, even when the evil one seems to succeed, it is still part of Jesus' will for your life. And the same loving shepherd who had just literally fed his disciples, who had made breakfast for them and lovingly fed them, is the same one telling Peter, listen, my will for you is that you will be crucified. And we can take comfort in knowing it was his will for that suffering to happen, for that cross to bear, for you to bear that cross. But there's also a great challenge in this. It's not just a comfort to know that God gives you these, that Jesus gives you these crosses to bear. As you hear that, are you willing to truly follow Jesus' footsteps in this regard? Or do you complain about the hardships in your life? Do you grumble about the hardships in your life? Do you complain against God? Certainly the Psalms give us the words to cry out in our hardship and to say, Lord, how long? And Lord, please save me. And it's not that we just clam up or we just have to grin and bear it when we suffer. We certainly cry out to the Lord. But do we complain against him? Do we grumble against him and say, Lord, you don't know what you're doing? We say, Lord, you shouldn't have done this to me. Lord, this is wrong that I'm having to go through this, and you shouldn't have put this in my life. Or do we accept what the cross is he has given us to bear, understanding that we're following in Jesus' footsteps? He isn't just letting those things happen to you. He has chosen what is best for you, and he's given it to you in your life. Now, if you struggle with complaining, if you struggle with grumbling, one of the surest ways to tempt yourself to complain even more is to compare yourself and your life with others. And we see Peter start down that path immediately here. And that brings us to our third point, expanding our idea again here. Follow Jesus and take up your God-given cross without comparing. Follow Jesus and take up your God-given cross without comparing. Peter's just been told that he will be crucified, that he will suffer the most shameful, painful death imaginable in the known world at that time. And as he's trying to come to terms with that, if you can imagine just being told that this is how you're going to die, as he's trying to come to terms with that, he turns around and he spots John following them. This apostle, this fellow apostle. And you can almost hear the wheels turning in John's head as he thinks about it. He says, if I'm going to have to go through that, what about him? Does he have to do that too? Or there may even have been a little bit of, am I the only one that's going to have to do this? Am I the only one that's going to have to suffer? Or is everyone going to pull their weight here? Are you just putting this all on me? Or is everybody else going to have to suffer too? But Jesus responds by saying, if I want him to live all the way until I come back, what is that to you? You follow me. Or to summarize, or to put it another way, Jesus is telling him, it's none of your business whether he suffers exactly the way you suffer. You keep your focus on me. You keep your focus on me as your Savior and Lord who has suffered already before you. Now, when Jesus says, if it's my will that he remain until I come, he's not saying that John might not suffer at all. Jesus isn't telling Peter, now, don't you worry about the fact that other Christians are going to have this fantastic life in this world that's not going to involve any suffering. That would contradict what Jesus has said before this. Jesus had told his disciples clearly in Matthew 10:38, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. If someone does not deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he's not truly following Christ, is what Christ had told them before. Every person who truly follows Jesus Christ will suffer for following Christ. Every person must take up their cross and follow him. If you want to follow Jesus, you will have to deny yourself. And so Jesus isn't saying, Peter, you're going to have to suffer this horrific death, but don't worry if John gets to just not have to suffer at all. Jesus is saying, Peter, you will have to suffer this horrific death, but it's none of your business what kind of cross I give John. John's got his own cross to bear. He will have to bear his cross, but you don't need to worry about what his suffering is going to be. You focus on me and take up your cross. Leave it up to Jesus to decide what crosses others will bear, and don't compare crosses. It's true, as far as we can tell from church history, that John did not die a martyr's death. As far as we know, he died in old age, but that didn't mean that he didn't take up his cross. We know in the book of Acts that he was arrested and threatened by the authorities along with Peter, and then just after that he was arrested and beaten with the rest of the apostles. And we know from Revelation chapter 1 that he was exiled for preaching the gospel, exiled to the island of Patmos. And if Jerome's account of John in old age is true, again, this is outside of Scripture, but we have an account from Jerome of John in old age saying that by the end of his life, John was so weak he had to be carried to the place of worship, and he was so weak he could hardly speak. But John certainly took up his cross in a lifetime of suffering, even though he wasn't literally crucified. And you can imagine John, as he got close to the end, as he was in his final years, you can imagine him in his old age thinking of his fellow apostles who had gone before him. And yes, some of them had died excruciating deaths, but they had gotten to see the Lord sooner. And there was John in the long, drawn-out days of old age, persevering, not giving up, continuing to use every breath he had to serve the Lord, to teach as he could, to share with his brothers and sisters as long as he had the strength. But you can imagine John in those moments, if he did compare himself with others, being envious of James, his brother, who had died so early and so quickly by the sword. And thinking of all those years that he had to spend suffering in this life, and he got to go early. He got to be with Jesus. All these years that John's been on this earth suffering, his brother had been in the presence of Jesus enjoying perfection. So you can imagine John, if he had gone down that path, unhelpfully comparing himself to these brothers and sisters. And that's what Jesus is telling us not to do. He says, yes, others have different crosses to bear. That's not supposed to be your focus. You follow me. Don't compare with the people around you. Don't compare crosses. For one thing, you don't know what a person is going through. You can't see people's hearts. You only get a sample of someone else's life. You know your own struggles and hardships through and through because it's your own life. But you don't know what crosses someone else is bearing. But also, the reality is, even if you did know what other people were suffering, Jesus may choose to give you more suffering than someone else. Your life may truly be more difficult than others. But your Lord sees, and he knows, and he promises that whatever you give up for him in this life, you will be far more than repaid in a life to come. He says, follow me. He says, trust me. He says, trust that I have walked this path before you, and you are laying up treasures in heaven. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17, he says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Set your minds on what Christ has told us about the life to come, on the path that Christ has walked before you, and that path of suffering before the glory that he is now enjoying in heaven with the Father. Do you ever look around yourself and think, no one else has it as hard as I do? Or do you look at individual people, maybe? You look at individual people and you say, God, what about him? Why does he have it so good? What about her? Why does she have everything I want and I'm struggling? Friends, if that if those thoughts are running through your mind, hear Jesus speaking to you this morning and say, if it's my will that it's that way, what is that to you? Trust me. Now, Jesus telling Peter to mind his own business here doesn't mean that Peter was supposed to live some kind of a solo Christian life, as if it's sort of the it's just me and Jesus attitude where he was supposed to just ignore John. If anything, we're going to see John and Peter grow closer. We're going to see them become partners in ministry and grow closer together as they go forward from this moment here with Jesus. And really, if we apply what Jesus tells us here, that's my hope for you this morning, is that if you will not compare yourselves to each other, you will be far better equipped for this kind of partnership in ministry. If you will listen to Jesus here this morning and not compare crosses with each other, that will free you up to come alongside each other. If you refuse to dwell, when that temptation comes into your mind, if you refuse to dwell on whether someone's life is easier or harder than you, then that frees you from the envy that could come between you and poison that relationship. It helps you see your brother or sister as someone to come alongside, to serve alongside. You both have your crosses to bear. Jesus has told us that's true. You both have your crosses to bear, and Jesus is in charge, and he has chosen what is best. And you're going to be in a much better place to bear each other's burdens if you refuse to compare crosses. If you leave it in the Lord's hands and you love each other. Think specifically this morning. If there is a person you have looked at recently and thought, it's not fair that they have what I want. Wouldn't it be great if I had that life? Why hasn't God given me that life? Friends, root out that thinking before it grows, before it takes root. before it has time to poison your relationships. Trust that what you're experiencing is God's will for you, is Jesus' will for you. Peter and John heard Jesus tell Peter that he was going to be crucified. Again, heading for the most excruciating death imaginable in the life in the world at that time. Peter knew this was coming, and yet he still went through with it. And at first you'd look at that and you'd say, that doesn't make any sense. Why on earth would someone tells you, if you do this, you're going to die an excruciating death? And almost anything else in life, you'd say, absolutely not, I'm not going to do that. But Peter went ahead with this. It doesn't make sense to the world that we sacrifice to follow Christ, but remember who was talking to Peter and John in this moment. Remember that even as Peter heard Jesus tell him, you will be crucified, Peter could see the holes in Jesus' hands from Jesus' crucifixion. And yet Jesus was speaking to him. Jesus was breathing. Well, Jesus was there in the flesh, living, having come back to life after crucifixion. And this Jesus that Peter was being called to follow was inviting him to experience the worst kind of death, the death that Jesus had experienced, but he was being invited by the one who had come through on the other side of that death, who had been raised to life. This invitation to follow comes from Christ on the other side of that death, the risen Christ, the Christ who will never suffer again. Friends, the one who invites you to come and die, the one who invites you to come and suffer, is the one who has conquered death. The one who tells you to take up your cross is the one who is no longer hanging on the cross, but is living again. Brothers and sisters, as you suffer in this life, take your eyes off your brothers and sisters and set them on the risen Christ. Stop comparing. Fight that urge to envy. Look at Christ, at what he has done and where he is now. And then take up your cross and follow him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son to suffer for us, to take up his cross so that we would have life, so that we can be forgiven of our sins, even though we don't deserve that in the least. Lord, please help us to fill our hearts and our minds with knowledge of Christ, of what he is, who he is and what he has done. And as you call us to take up our crosses, please help us to remember and to remember Christ in glory. To remember what's on the other side of following Christ into death in this life. Help us to truly sacrifice ourselves. Help us not to grumble in the crosses you've given us to bear. Help us not to compare ourselves with each other, but to truly come alongside each other and be partners in following Christ. Lord, thank you for that promise that this suffering will not last forever, that the day is coming when you will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will never again be a cross for someone to bear in that new heavens and that new earth. Lord, please give us that hope in Jesus Christ and help us to be willing to pay that cost of discipleship, to follow Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.